Hi everyone, it's your girl Astro Puffs, and we're back for another season. I am joined by co-host Monica, and we'll be delivering the hot tea on what's happening astrologically. This particular episode, before we get started in earnest again, is finishing up that series that we started on relationship archetypes. For some reason, I just could not get this episode done before now, and I believe in divine timing, so I can't help but think that I couldn't get this episode done because now is the time to get the episode done. So sit back and enjoy this incredible masterclass of discussion into twin flames and the higher purpose around these relationships. If you haven't yet, go back and listen to the episodes on soulmates and the soul experience. Keep in mind, this was recorded last year, and although it's not particularly relevant because this discussion is pretty evergreen, we might reference a couple things from that period. I also just want to give a huge shout out to Emery Pace Archer and Roxanne, who have their own personal twin flame experiences, for absolutely opening up and giving us some real professional insight and from the perspective of healers. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks, starting off with retro season to give you your astro lowdown. Thanks. So it's interesting that you guys said this initially, because I think one of the hugest misconceptions about what a twin flame is, most specifically, is that this solely is a romantic story and that the point is to meet this person and ride into
the sunset.
Do you
want to answer that one?
Can you talk about what a twin flame is, a little bit, and what it's not?
For me, it's, I don't know. I think it's unconditional love, right, is the theme. And it's unconditional love for yourself. That expands out to all of humanity. And so I think that a person that has signed up to be on a twin flame journey, or is in twin flame mode, or however we want to call it, I think that person is coming from that place. And so if they don't, a lot of times you hear this, it's rocky, it's a roller coaster, and it's running and chasing. And there's all these things that you read right around a twin flame relationship. And I think it's a hard journey. And if you don't have unconditional love for yourself, then it's really hard to operate in that way. And so a lot of times I've read things about someone being the teacher, which tells me that one person maybe has done some of the work already in a past life or in this life. And so the next person, right, the twin flame, the twin soul, the other half is you're mirroring things for each other. And that person either needs to learn those things, or I think sometimes in my experience, I feel like there's a mirroring for one person. And then that person's like, oh, here's what I need to get done or heal. And then so I can raise my vibration. And then the next person, you're going to mirror for them. And you sort of go back and forth, and there's this reciprocal kind of thing that happens. I'm pretty different interpretations, but I think the biggest thing is that it's unconditional love is the theme. And either you have it or you're trying to get it, but the purpose is to expand that out. And I think some people can tend to get stuck, just like in lots of different relationships.
They're swept away into just one aspect of expression. When right. I think, and really, it wasn't meant to be limited.
And it's so extreme, and there's so much emotion, and there's this, it's magnetic, I think was the word that you, did somebody use magnetic? It's a good word.
I would say magnetic for like soulmate, like there's a magnetism or a drawing, but for twin flame, I would say unignorable.
Yeah, unignorable.
Almost, it's like stronger, that it's like collision.
You're like, I'm going to go ahead and just walk away. And you're like, walk away. Now I'm going to die. So if death is the other option, yeah, I guess I'm going to go ahead and keep doing the work, right? So there is this sort of thing where you can't just walk away. And I think that's when you know you're in a twin flame relationship.
It's very different than a karmic in that
way. You don't get to just walk away.
I have to say, like, that really resonates with me. And I think that's one of the things, if someone, one of our listeners or someone out there is having a twin flame experience, mm-hmm, it's kind of like,
And you get to do the work, you know, together, apart, separately, and then together, but you get to do the work is sort of like that theme. When we're talking about the continuum of different relationships, I was thinking about how there's different breaking points or intentions or surrenders or acceptance where you're on your knees surrendering to some kind of energy, or you are praying or intending for something, or there's a breakthrough that you just, you know, don't get to argue with. Like for me, it was being diagnosed with cancer, when I was 34 years old. And so at that point in my life, the things that I had failed to address or failed to confront within myself or deny or push down, it was sort of like, oh, wait, I can't. It was like what my soul needed to go to the next level. And so some people would say, oh, well, you know, you have a sixth house Pluto, and so you're bound to have health issues. And I say, no, I have a transformative aspect in my everyday house, which means I get to transform, or I have the repercussions of not transforming. I don't have to have health issues at all. And that's been absolutely my physical human experience, is that when I'm on a transformative journey, when I'm on a journey that joins in a higher octave with other people, you know, everything is amazing. And when I resist or I run away or I push down, that's not the case. And so I'm just throwing in that little aspect thing, because I think people can get kind of down in the downward swirl, whether it's with a soulmate or, but especially in the twin flame community, there's people that are really struggling and really in pain and hurting, and they want to point to things in their chart or, you know, blame the person for triggers that are coming up for them. Or, you know, they want to say that it has to be rocky or a roller coaster, or, that abuse is okay, or all these kinds of crazy things. And I think one of the things we really wanted to make clear was, you know, like, that's not the function of a twin flame relationship. And so if you're having a really hard time, let's not just go to the internet and say, oh, it's because it's a twin flame relationship. You know what I mean? And if you're having a twin flame relationship, let's not go to the internet and say, oh, that means we're going to have a hard time.
Or we're going to always be just in bliss.
Right. Exactly. Because I don't know, like,
which
that was
good to you.
Right. Exactly. but it's that idea of like light work and shadow work and everything in between, like having that spectrum or continuum and having everything add to that, subtract to that. And so I feel like it is a Plutonian journey in some ways. It's all or nothing. You don't get sort of like a stasis or a break, like we were talking before. We need a little respite from some soulmate relationships. It's sort of like there's no middle ground or, waiting pattern, holding pattern. You are either transforming and growing, or you're going downhill. And I feel like your soul didn't give you that option. And I felt like that in my life, all twin flame conversation aside, I just feel like my whole life has been like that. And my chart reflects that. And my personal experiences reflect that. It's sort of like my soul was like, it's time, you know, it's do or die. Let's do this.
Yeah. I have a question. And hopefully it doesn't totally derail the direction of the conversation, but I have, and you can let me know if this is a ridiculous question or not, but I have read online and stuff that one of the things about twin flame relationships is
when
that
you say you get one, you mean like one forever or one person,
or is that a myth? Yeah, like you get one twin flame, you only have one twin flame, so one person. And usually I think people say that in the context of romantic, but I guess you could take that as like you only have one twin flame relationship, whether that's platonic or otherwise, right? But there's only one. And then my second question to follow that up is that, does that relationship, because how you're talking about it makes it seem like it's something that it really is, like, it, because it is do or die, it's like it's something that continues for your whole life. So is it one person only, and then two, is it something that once it's engaged with, like, this?
Well,
is something
I can only speak for myself. I've only had one, and I can't do two. Okay, so I'm just gonna say that one is enough. So, and I'm good with just universe. Hear me. I'm good. I'm all good with one twin flame. And I would say absolutely. Like, I don't think it's something. It's gonna be here. I think it's gonna be here in the next life, and it was here all the other lives. And I don't know that we've necessarily, my twin and I, have met up in every life. Because I feel like there was definitely a life where I died early and I don't feel like we were in that life together. And so I don't know that it's for every experience or every life, but I think your twin flame is your twin flame. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, my experience too is that it's so much different and so much more intense and so much more encompassing that I can't even imagine that being possible. Like, but you know, I think, you know, going by your experience is important, and staying away from, you know, the list of rules that some random person wrote, you know, like the rules of the twin flame, you must have, you know, whatever, kissed on a starry moonlight night or something. It's like, there's no rules for that. But I think the encompassment of the feeling, the fact that the feeling is not just physical, but it's visceral, it's past life, it's future life, it bleeds through and permeates every state of energetic body that we have, our auras, our chakras, our auric field, the ethereal, our energetic ability to reach out, the astral plane, Akasha. It's sort of like every possible way of connecting it encompasses, is my experience. And so that to me is pretty darn undeniable.
Exactly. And so you guys mentioned something earlier about mirroring, and I don't know if a lot of people understand what that means. I think anyone who's gone through the experience, especially when they kind of get to a certain stage of understanding what's happening to them, they get it. But can you explain mirroring?
So mirroring, I think, can come up in many different ways. It can be physical mirroring, like you can get a stomach ache and your twin will have a stomach ache at the same time, or have a similar dream, or meet on a dream plane. There's things that will come up, and it can be so blatantly feel like your own, but it is really maybe the other person's, or vice versa. Like this very, let's say a very angry feeling, or a feeling.
You don't know who it belongs to.
I don't know who it belongs to, but all of a sudden I'm really pissed. And I'm like, why am I so pissed? And then I'll find out, you know, my twin flame is really pissed about something, or, you know, having all types of body feelings and vibrations that can be activated. It can be, you know, psychological and emotional, like feeling like not enough or not the one. And that can be mirrored to you and the other person. And I think there's this huge experience of whatever is holding you back from being completely open and from completely diving all the way in and being as are to dive into that, you know, whether you call it divine or unconditional or infinite love and light that is going to grow humanity. Anything that little shred that's holding you back, or the big block that comes up, and it's sort of like, boom, there's your twin flame, and it's right in your face, and it's someone who you deeply care about and are more connected to than anyone you've ever met.
And can't walk away from.
And can't walk away from, and bam, there it is. And so,
yeah. No, I think that's how I would describe it too. I think sometimes, like, I think twin flames have had similar experiences or traumas or things, situations and or themes, right? Like sometimes I think there's a common theme that has happened in their lives. And so it's maybe easier for them to mirror that for each other. But I think the way that it happens in a twin flame relationship is different. And so when I speak of a mirror, just from a therapeutic stance, lots of people are mirrors for us. And the way that I always tell my clients is that you should have at least three positive mirrors. So if you're in a relationship, or you have a family member or a friend, you should have at least three people that when you spend time with them and you come home to your personal space, you're like, wow, you know, like I rock, or I'm amazing, or like, I really get this, you know, something where you feel really good about yourself.
Or seen.
And yeah, you feel seen, you feel heard, you feel important, you feel valued, and you can grow from that, right? Because those are the spaces we grow from. When we're around mirrors that are negative for us, and we walk away from them and we go, oh, you know, I can never get it right. I suck. I'm not enough. I'm not worthy. They're just, you know, it's the same thing I've been hearing like my whole life, or something like that. Those are the mirrors that we want to be careful about being around. And so just in a simplistic way, I think we want to have positive mirrors in our life. And that is how we grow. That's how our self-esteem grows, our self-worth. That's how we feel good in the world. And a twin flame, wow, does both of those times a thousand, right? It's like you're the person that can make you feel so amazing because they see you in this way that no one else has ever seen you. And they're also the person that can just really show you all the things and places you need to still work.
When I think the metaphysical thing, like from a metaphysical point of view, if you think about a mirror showing up, let's say someone shows up and is, you know, like unkind to you or makes you feel like not enough, whatever, you know, and I'm going to put that in quote, makes you feel, because we do get to choose our thoughts and we do get to operate in a way that is, you know, owning of the thoughts that cause the feelings that I have. But in a metaphysical way, there's something inside me that needs to be healed and there's something inside that person. So somebody screams at me in the street, that's a call for love. They're calling out for this love that they are missing, that they need. And I can be affected by that in a way of, wow, that person needs some care and concern. Or I can be like, you a-hole, right? But either way, it's a call for love. And so if I can see that in the other person and then look within myself and go, whoa, I'm super activated. I'm super triggered. This mirror is like making me feel like I'm going to fall apart and be broken down and cry and go to state zero. Then if I can look in myself and say, wait, especially if I'm on a journey of healing or journey of transformation, what within me can I heal? Can I look at differently? Can I gain a new perspective? Can I look at in a more intellectual fact-finding way instead of a beating up myself way? What can I make a new intention with and a new agreement with so that my soul can have some healing here?
And that goes to like where we ultimately want to be as twin flames.
Yeah.
That mirroring process I think is so important because ultimately I want to be a good mirror for the people that I interact with. So for every client that I see, for every human that I interact with, for my children, the people that I know and are close to me, and for every stranger that comes, you know, into my path, I want to be able to be a good mirror for them. And so I think that's how we grow into positive mirrors for others. And that is, you know, when Emery was saying we're in charge of our own feelings, right? So we can't really say, you know, oh, Emery made me feel this way. Well, I mean, we can say that, but we'll be externalizing blame if we do. And so when we talk about that, it's when we come into the world and we've had some experiences, and I think Emery and I both can say that we have, where we didn't have self-worth or positive self-esteem, or we didn't feel great about ourselves all the time. And that was something that we had to discover and learn and grow ourselves. The way that we can grow our self-worth and our self-esteem is from those positive mirrors. So it's not that we can blame someone for the feelings that we're having or for them making us feel a certain way in quotes. But absolutely we need those positive mirrors to grow. And then ultimately, hopefully we can be those positive mirrors.
Gorgeous. Thank you so much for answering that. And I feel like this is a good opportunity to kind of talk about what a karmic relationship is. There's a lot of information out there where people will say, oh, this must be your false twin flame, or this must be your, you know, karmic relationship. And
extend that into a relationship, and you come from a point of view of, you know, infinite field of consciousness and energy and myself being an empowered being that is creating my own reality, then a karmic relationship is a relationship that I have agreed to, or I have intended, or I have created for a specific purpose to help myself grow or to help the other person. That's the hope, right? We're still in these human bodies and we still have human choices and soul choices that we can make all the time. And so I think of karmic as that is a relationship that I can walk away from if I choose to. That is a relationship that, you know, both people sort of have to agree. Okay. We have this agreement. And like we kind of talked about soul contract. And so I think a karmic relationship that's more intense or more involved beyond a soul pod or a soul family, where we're getting into a soulmate or a karmic connection, is something where I've intended for this growth to happen in my life. And here's a person who maybe agreed with me that we could grow together, maybe agrees for this period of time or our whole lives or whatever. And then there's definitely some sort of a soul connection there that's deeper than just, you know, sort of an ordinary relationship, whether that's an ordinary yay relationship or an ordinary hard relationship. But hopefully that wasn't too all over the place.
No, I think that makes perfect sense. And so what I find in the twin flame community is that there is a lot of, I think Roxanne, maybe you or Emery referenced placing blame. And I think there's a lot of blame that kind of gets put on this karmic relationship, right? Like, oh, this person was awful to you. This person was terrible to you. They must be a karmic relationship. And so in the twin flame community, it seems like the definition of a karmic relationship is just bad. It's just a bad thing. And if you're in a relationship with someone and you think they're your twin flame.
I do see that. And I don't know if I see it as a negative really, but they do sort of say, oh, that's karmic, right? It's like, it doesn't measure up. Is the way that I sort of see it. So sometimes, you know, people will generalize and they'll say, oh, your twin flame would never hurt you that way. Or your twin flame would never treat you that way. That must be a karmic, right? Is that sort of what you mean? Okay. So yeah, so I've seen that. And I think sometimes I'm guilty of saying, well, yeah, I think your twin flame
exactly.
would absolutely treat you that way. But no, but I think it is harder for a twin flame. So here's what I guess an aspect of being a twin flame is that it feels like yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you injure your twin flame, whether it's verbally or, you know, physically or emotionally, it doesn't matter. It feels like you're injuring yourself. And so I think that it is harder to do things that are negatively impactful to your twin. And so I would say that that's mm-hmm. true. I wouldn't necessarily blame that on a karmic or have any judgment around. Say, wow, I think when you're in a twin flame relationship and you hurt each other, you're hurting yourself.
Well, and the same goes for when you're hurtful to yourself or you're hard on yourself. It feels to your twin flame that you're being hard on them.
Absolutely.
As well.
Like if my twin is upset mm-hmm. with herself or says something negative against herself, then absolutely I'm sort of
it's like I'm against
I'm like,
both of
wow,
us.
You hate me. It's intense. It's like you hate me and you want me to die, right? Like it feels that intense. Where I think if you're in a karmic relationship, yeah. it just feels different. It's if you are vibrating high, not vibing, but vibrating high, I think it's harder for you to do that to anyone. Like create, I'm all about not creating harm in the world, and so that is a big theme for me. And so it's hard for me to create harm for others, even if in my mind I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to go off on that person, right, or whatever. But that's a really hard thing for me to do. And it's hard for me to watch pain being created for others. And that doesn't matter what kind of relationship I'm in. But I think it does feel different.
I want to go back to that idea too of like, this is from the Course in Miracles where I give something all the meaning that it has. So some event happens or something happens between me and another person, whether it's a karmic or a twin flame, and I say, that's bad. Well, I could also say, wow, this is an opportunity for me to grow, or wow, what did I miss perspective wise, or where am I falling short, as opposed to saying that that was something bad. Sometimes things happen in our life that are the impetus for change that we need that people would say is, quote, bad, but we're giving that meaning instead of allowing it to be energy that we choose to use in whatever way. You know, it's like that same concept of like, you know, money is the root of all evil and having too much money means you're greedy, or it's like, well, no, money is energy that I can exchange for other things to either help people or to keep them at bay or whatever I choose to do. So money isn't bad. I can choose to use money either way. And it's the same thing with astrology signs, right? Like, oh, Gemini is this, or oh, it's sort of like, no, there's this energy that can be harnessed and utilized in whatever way. And I think that's really important to look at that. And the other thing that came up was there's a lot of people online giving their opinions and, you know, bless their hearts, like give your opinion and be brave and speak your truth. But I think if you are a person that's wondering, am I in a karmic relationship? Am I in a twin flame relationship? Is this a soulmate? You are the only person that gets to answer that question. Your soul will answer that question. Nobody on Facebook going to tell you that it's a karmic or a whatever. You get to decide. And you also get to decide the value and meaning of that relationship. You could have a karmic relationship that is beautiful and creates this amazing growth in your life that could be for the rest of your life. And there's nothing wrong with that. And so I think I get frustrated a little bit with the lightworking or metaphysical community when we are saying, like, you know, there's this whole group of lightworkers and they're all arguing about whether casting a vote is being a lightworker or not casting a vote, or casting a vote for this person or that person. And it's just like, wow, it's sort of like the energy that I give that vote is all the meaning that it has. If I'm putting my energy towards, you know, towards change and towards women having a voice and towards, you know, slashing the paradigm, paradigm and just, you know, taking away systemic destruction, then that's the energy my vote has.
That in itself is something that's hard for people to understand. And I'm a person that takes a lot of ownership of my relationship. So that was really difficult for me.
I love seeing that through the lens of we're here for a higher purpose and a higher truth. And that's why we don't get to sever it, because it's not just about us. It's not just right. about our soul or our human experience or the people that we love so much, who obviously our lives as humans, no matter what our spiritual path, it affects everyone around us every single day that we're alive. Even if we don't leave our home, our energy, our attitude, the things that we're putting out there. And so knowing that the reason that we can't walk away is because their purpose for me feels really healing and inspiring. And, you know, like you can feel like crying or giving up, but it's never the type of giving up. It's like giving up on doing it this way because that way isn't working. What other way do we have? Because this isn't just about us.
And I think that's like the best advice too for twin flames that, you know, because I'm in the twin flame process, so I can only offer like where I am. But I think the best advice that I can give is that you can always. So when I talk to clients about small picture, big picture, right? Like what's happening right now in this moment, and then how does that affect the greater picture? And so I think with twin flame relationships, it's important to be able to switch out and go, hold on, this isn't about me. This isn't about us. This is about humanity. This is about the world. This is the universe. This is like big. And so when you tend to get sort of like, oh, this is really painful. If you just kind of expand that out a little bit, then you can sort of refocus in a different way. And then you are able to come back together because you remember that it's not about you as an individual. That was never part of the journey. That's not what the journey is about.
Guys, describe how the twin flame experience exists in terms of light working and shadow work and just kind of how does this benefit humanity at large?
You got this.
So I guess when we're coming from a perspective of that's sort of an esoteric term that's like, what does that mean? Do you shoot lightning bolts into the air? Are there a lot of candles involved?
So, the answer is yes to both of those.
Yeah, so to demystify the light working process, I think, you know, we're talking about everything is energy. And I do want to emphasize that, you know, light work and shadow work go together. There isn't one without the other. And then I want to go a step beyond a binary idea, a dualistic idea, and say that there's everything in between. That we aren't just dark and light and integrating that. We are complete beings that are integrating our human experience, our soul experience, our spiritual experience, and the experiences of others that we come into contact with. And for myself personally, I think that's why I gravitated and was so drawn to astrology, because it's such an intuitive, emotional, higher truth, all of those things, ways of integrating all that information and being able to store it and being able to access it in ways that are helpful, in ways that take me outside of myself and my perspective. And so I just find that helpful. I find energy work of all kinds helpful. And so when I think of a light worker, I think of someone who's willing to you know, like spread the good word, who's willing to help people grow, who's willing to operate on a higher octave. And so when we talk sort of like about, to use astrology as an example, when we talk about relationship astrology, Mercury has a higher octave of Uranus, and Venus has a higher octave of Neptune, and Mars has a higher octave of Pluto. And so while we have these personal connections in our personal planets, we can also have connections in our higher octaves, which are global and which are far reaching, and where our energy and our action and our relationship has a bigger impact on the world. And so I think of it as, you know, energy and vibration and healing, things that are oxidizing, you know, smiling instead of frowning creates different energy in the body. And relaxing rather than being tense creates different energy in the body. So acceptance and openness, being aware of the environmental things like animals, humans, nature, Mother Earth, our universe, growth. And then the thing that is so, so important, especially in these crazy times that we're living, where we're separated by masks and by distancing and by political culture and by systemic racism and by all the things that have been structured to hold us down, unity. If you are a light worker, you are about unconditional love, like Roxanne spoke about. And that means unity. That means, how do we come together even when we're different? How do we come together when we're opposites? How do we come together when we feel there's wounding or triggering or damaging? How do I own that and heal that and come together with people? And I think working journey, a healer's journey, a twin flame journey, all of those can be synonymous with integrating everything we need to be in unity.
One of you kind of speak to unconditional love, and since you both have experience with the twin flame journey, how that either deepened your perspective or maybe focused it.
I would say the same thing. I had never experienced it outside of my children as well, until my twin flame. And so it's that sort of, it's there, strings attached. It's something that you give freely, and there's no conditions. It's not like, well, if this, then that, right? There's nothing like that. It's just this love that exists. And for me, in my experience, it was automatically there. It's just like when you like birth a child, it's the same thing. It's like, you don't have to really do anything. I just love you. I love you till the end of time. It doesn't matter what you say to me or how you treat me, or if you never want to see me again when you're 18, or like, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if you're cute. It doesn't matter if you're ugly and you have big ears. Like, it doesn't matter. It's unconditional. And no matter what I try to it just is still there. I can be real mad at you, but the next morning, guess what? It's still there. And there's really nothing that you can do to change that either, because it's not attached to anything. It's not attached to an idea, to an experience, to any sort of characteristics, or it's just not attached to anything. It's free and it's open and it's accepting and there isn't judgment. And so I could go on and on about unconditional love. But I think it's altruistic is the best way to describe it. It's, I don't need anything back from you. It's just free. I'm giving it to you and I don't need anything back.
Do you feel that there's a certain amount of surrender? I've been listening to a lot of Brené Brown, so bear with me. There is some vulnerability in giving yourself over to unconditional love, right? That's we as human beings, that's kind of, it's, you feel kind of wide open, right? Like I am committing, so to speak, to something in which I have no control over, because as you said, there is no like, you do this and then I do that. There's no exchange of anything. It's just free. Do you feel that there's a certain amount of surrender that comes with unconditional love, and how does that tie back into the things that you were talking about how you're giving your energy out there and really doing things for humanity and for the
yeah
for
I
the
love world. Yeah, I love Brené Brown. I like the word surrender better than the word vulnerability, just because to me, vulnerability implies that there's a fear there or there's a trepidation. There's something that might not be okay. And I think my experience of receiving unconditional love, there's nothing I can fear. It's a flood of acceptance of anything and all that I am, not just in a moment, but in past, present, and future. And so when I think of that relationship continuum, that's why certain relationships fall farther along on the light working continuum or on the helping others continuum, because being able to spread that ability to let go, like you said, to surrender. And there is a surrender, but it's like, when I think of surrender, I also think of like the word powerless, where my power is gone, so I surrender to you. And I feel like in the twin flame experience, it's an empowering surrender. I'm surrendering to the idea that we are empowered together. And of course, like, we're human and we have egos and we have a past life history and we have things that pop up that are human. And there's these things that can get in the way, not to just say like it's all candy and roses, because obviously there's work to be done and there can be a human struggle for sure. But that feeling and that knowing of the surrender of empowerment to unconditional love, it results in being stronger together and doing what you could not do alone, even though you are an empowered person and making a difference and wanting to change lives, it ultimately it's stronger together. And I think sometimes the concept of being vulnerable or surrendering to a power or being vulnerable in a relationship can feel like you're giving something away or losing part of yourself in order to be part of a whole. And I feel like the twin flame relationship is unique because it's the opposite.
Coming home.
Like, coming home.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And you feel whole when you are able to like do those things together and you have that surrendering, then you feel like a whole person.
Yep.
And once you meet your twin flame, I gotta say, because I thought I was a whole person.
Me too.
And all of a sudden I was like, oh, wow. Now it never feels that way anymore.
Never
it's
feels
like
the
I
same
never
again.
Get to feel whole. Like, I'm just like, dang it. Oh my God. So.
And so lastly, before we kind of potluck this, there's a lot of information, and I think I've read a lot about, like, there will be a lot more people awakening to this experience. What do you guys think about, like, suggesting for someone awakening to this? How can they find support, accurate information? What's out there for them?
No, I think, like, what you were going to say is, like,
I don't know.
I would align with that.
So, like, well, obviously, I mean, not to be super obvious, but, like, when you're on the internet, there's so much information and misinformation about every possible topic. And so when you reach one that's very emotionally charged, or when you reach one that is unique, like in any way, it's really easy to get crazy misinformation or things that can be very disheartening. And that information that you're taking in is very much affecting your energetic field and how you resonate moving forward. And so I think, you know, researching and knowing your source. If I see something posted on a twin flame website or group, I'm going to kind of look at that person or that source or that book and say, well, what is this person? What is their twin flame relationship experience? You know, are they with their twin flame? Were they able to do something that helped others? Their main, you know, what's their main occupation? What do they do every day? Is it something that's engaged in humanity in a way that's productive and healing? And I kind of, you know, like vet my sources in that way. And as far as, you know, like as far as meeting with people personally, I think just like when you're looking for a counselor or a personal tutor or someone that you want to share a healing experience with, like, you know, like Reiki or Akasha or things like that, that there are certain people that energetically you're going to resonate with, and that changes throughout your journey as you evolve and as you grow and heal. Someone you resonated with 3 years ago who was very helpful, there might be someone different. And so being open to finding experiences that are genuine and authentic, that resonate, going within and asking yourself, being really in touch with yourself and having, you know, having a trusted person in your life to bounce things off of. And it's hard because twin flame is like the subject you can't really bounce off anyone that isn't also a twin flame or identifies as such, because like you were saying before, it's like, you sound crazy, right? It's like, well, I'm going to tell you about this experience. And they're like, what are you talking about? You know? And so I think, the experiences that we've had that have been the most helpful have been with people who are having a twin flame experience as well, and coming from a perspective of healing and growth and mm-hmm. unconditional love. And there's been other things where you kind of, you know, you pick and choose and you pick what resonates for you. But just kind of like in a general sense, but I find that the people that are the most helpful are doing something in the world to help others, to light work with energy, with, you know, with something that is helpful to people, no matter what field they're in.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And I do think, I agree. Like, I think the stakes were, at the time that I started doing research, the stakes were much lower for me than they would have been when I was like in the thick of this relationship. And there's so much information out there. I do agree with you. You need to protect your energy and the kind of information that you're taking in. I think that there's a lot of experiences out there that might not resonate with your own and don't necessarily, as Roxanne pointed out before, have to be your experience. I want to thank you guys so much. Is there any final thoughts on how this experience, any final thoughts for any of the listeners on this topic, which I think is really important and I think is going to be more relevant as time goes on?
I guess my final thought is just like integrating your whole experience as much as possible. So whether you're looking at soulmate or karmic relationships or a committed marriage relationship or a traditional or a twin flame relationship or your astrological chart or how your chart intersects other people, places, and things, to do it in a way that is whole and integrated. And that way the synthesis of information is actually accurate with your authenticity rather than plucking out, oh gosh, it's my Mars in Cancer, or plucking out it's my Moon in Leo, or all Gemini's XYZ, or all twin flames. Those kind of statements are the statements that keep us sort of trapped and looped instead of creating new experiences and experiences where we can really grow. And I think that that's where the magic is, when we can grow and grow together.
Beautifully said. Mm-hmm. Beautifully said. So here's the thing. I know that both of you ladies are super, super talented and have a whole lot going on. And so I know our listeners are going to want to know all about it. I'm going to put links in the description of each and every single episode so that people can check you out or they know where to find your good works. So can you please let us know what you have going on, why someone might reach out to you, and what you can do and the channels that they can find
you? Yeah, I mean, no, I have a pretty full caseload these days, of course, because it's quarantine and COVID and like the universe. I wasn't sure if like we were going extinct or getting thrown off the planet or what. So I'm glad to see that maybe some things are looking up and we have some more time to get it right. But yeah, I love offering, you know, Reiki to people. I'm always happy. Like, you can find us on the Swimming in Stars page. I'm sort of just a moderator there, keeping the peace. And I love sending private messages. So I don't have a big public face on Facebook, but I'm always happy to PM people, or people can reach out to me and I'll pick a card for you. So I do a lot of like just connecting, and I'm happy to do that. That's not something that you need to pay for. Emery right now is collecting information on twin flame charts. And so that's really helpful if you're in a twin flame relationship or a karmic relationship and you want to send her your info. And then she will ultimately be putting some free stuff on our page around that sort of information she's collecting. And so, I don't know, we're always happy to send out Reiki or to touch base or to have conversations. So yeah.
Yeah, I think especially to anyone that feels like they're on the twin flame journey and would like some positive mirroring or some reinforcement of, you know, how to integrate different healing systems into that journey, or just for yourself. You can find me. My Soul Astrology will be live, hopefully, as we move into Sagittarius season. is my goal to have that live and up. but we do have a Facebook group. It's Facebook /group/StarSwim, and it's Swimming in Stars Astrology. It's linked to my professional page, Emery Pace Archer, on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram, but just sort of like, I'm not really there a lot. but I would love for people to reach out, especially we try to do interviews and YouTubes with other people who are healers, people who are on a transformative journey. And Roxanne and I both do sessions for people together, either individually or as couples who need sort of therapeutic component and an esoteric component. And we are both, you know, Reiki master healers and, you know, herbalists and crystals and oils and all of that kind of integrated medicine. And so we are always happy to help people on their healing journey in that way as well.
Oh, I'm so excited to bring this to our listeners because, I mean, this is our second, third, fourth time around, and it's just been such a pleasure to get to know you both. That was just an absolutely incredible discussion. I hope you learned a lot throughout this series about relationship archetypes, the soul experience, and how we interrelate to each other from a spiritual perspective. Please give us a comment, send an email, visit the Instagram or the Facebook, and let us know how you felt about this series. Also, I will be including links so that you can get a hold of Emery or Roxanne if you want to continue the discussion and you have any questions or just want to join their Swimming in Astrology page. So thank you for joining us. Tune in again in a couple of weeks where we will be discussing all about your astrology signs and what you can expect during retro season. So until then...